Greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. Now, if you'd like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. Remember, the website does have a copy of this program on it. You can re-listen to it there, and it has a copy of my email meditation, the one that I send out every Monday morning. And if you'd like to be on that email list, just contact me through the website and give me your email address. Otherwise, you can read it on the website as well. And there's other information on the website that you may be interested in. So if you want to contact me either by regular mail or through the website, you'll need to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now, we've been going through the book of Luke, and today I want to break away from that for a few minutes and spend a little time on the events that have been taking place in the world that we live in. We know that we've had this great Boston massacre, and because of the way the programs are recorded in advance, I haven't had a chance really to say anything about them. If I didn't record in advance, I wouldn't always get them done because I do quite a little traveling. But today I want to address the issue of why such a tragedy would occur in the world, why there would be people who would have the desire to destroy others in this way, particularly when we think about one of those terrorists, and I would call them terrorists even though they may not be associated with foreign terror, even though one of those terrorists would set a bomb down beside an 8-year-old boy that he doesn't even know. What is wrong with a person who has no sympathy, no empathy like that? And so I'd like to deal a little with that. I don't have the final answers, but I have some thoughts that I would like to leave with you about this. I remember when 9/11 occurred, I was down in the gym in Waterloo and talking to people about what had happened. And I told them, I said, many people will question whether God exists. But I said, this is so terrible and so evil that there can be no doubt in your mind that Satan exists, and he is the God of this world. And so, as a preliminary statement to what I'm going to say today, I think it's quite clear that the fact that evil exists in the world is evidence of the fact that there is a God of this world who blinds the minds of those who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. And there is evil in the world. It's evil that is hard to explain, but thank the Lord, we can point to good in the world too, but the only good comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. A ruler once asked him how a person could obtain eternal life, and he called him good master when he asked him that question. And the Lord says, why call ye me good? There's only one that is good, that is God. And what he was saying to the young man is, if you don't believe I'm God, you can't believe I'm good, because there's only one that's good, and that's God. Well, the Lord was God, and he is good. So we do have good and evil present in our world. At least we have the influence of good and evil present in our world, depending on where you look at the abode of the Lord and where you look at the abode of Satan to be. But as we look at these issues, the presence of evil is what convinces me of the reality of the gospel. And the Lord, when he died at the hands of evil men. And yet he did that in order to accomplish good, in order to save us from the penalty that we deserve because of our sins. Now, the verses I want to read today are not in Luke. I want to read from Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 17, which says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord. Now, Paul's writing to a church, a congregation that was in Ephesus, and Ephesus would have been in Turkey today. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. Now, the Gentiles here represent those who are walking in unbelief. They're the heathen. They're the non-Jews who have worshipped the heathen gods. That you no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. Futility here means in the depravity or vanity or foolishness of their mind. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. Indeed, you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And we trust the Lord will bless the reading of his word. Now, as I read this, what I am beginning to understand from it is that Paul is the great psychologist. He was constantly concerned with the mind. He was not a worldly psychologist in the sense that he thought psychology had the answers apart from God, but he knew that what went into the mind affected the way we acted, and he constantly was concerned about the mind of the unbeliever and the mind of Christians. And in this case, if you notice, he starts with their minds, the minds of unbelievers, and shows how that through the mind, they make a downward progression until they do evil works. And so he says that we should not walk like they walk. The way they walk is in the futility of their mind, and it all starts with their mind. And I worry today about what is coming into the minds of most people. We used to find out that people in most homes had a Bible, and even if they didn't read it regularly, they read it some. Today, even Christians read books about the Bible rather than reading the Bible, and most people find people that they agree with, and then they read their material, whether it be religious or whether it be secular, they read their material and they become like them, because what we take into the mind is going to affect the way we act. And many people are not understanding the difference between reality and fantasy because they take everything in through movies, TV sets, and fictional books. And so we don't protect the mind as we ought to. So we're not supposed to walk as the Gentiles do in the foolishness or depravity of their mind. Now remember that the mind was depraved ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. The problem we have in the world today started with Adam and Eve disobeying God, and it was evidenced very clearly by the very thing that we saw at the Boston Marathon. It was evidenced by Cain killing Abel, because Abel brought a sacrifice that pleased God, and Cain's sacrifice did not. And even though Cain had the same instructions that Abel had, and he had the same background that Abel had, and he had the same ability to obey that Abel had, he wanted God to accept his sacrifice and what he had worked for, and he did not follow the instructions that God had given them. Abel pleased God, Cain did not. And instead of repenting and offering a sacrifice that would have pleased God, which he had the ability to do, he killed his brother. He hated his brother, who worshiped in a way that he did not understand. And we're having that same problem today. Many of our problems are associated with the way we worship. And so when we look at the world today, nearly every place in the world is involved in some kind of terrorism or war. And the Lord really did not teach that. The Lord taught really that we needed to be, and we'll see it, needed to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, and that we put off that kind of hatred that is evident in the world today. So we shouldn't walk in the emptiness of our mind or the futility of our mind, because this affects the way we think. They had their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. So once the mind is affected, and once we have our minds made up, it's hard for us to accept the fact that there might be something wrong with the way we're thinking. And so these are people whose minds are made up. They don't want to be confused with the facts. They are people that have prejudice and rebellion in their heart. Are the kind of people who, when the Lord was on this earth, cried, "Crucify, crucify, we will not have this man to reign over us." And so then, not only is the mind affected, so they're not able to take in truth, their understanding is darkened, but it affects their heart. And I think the heart is our motivations, but it's also our emotion, but but we have a hard heart. And could you not describe these two bombers, at least the older brother, as having a hard heart? But anyone who would kill people they don't know in the way they killed them, in the random way they killed them, it to me seems like they have a hard heart. And so that's what happens. First, it's our minds. Then it's our inability to take in truth. Then our hearts are hardened. And then it says in verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness. They have no emotions anymore. They have no ability to empathize with others or sympathize with others. They can't put themselves in other people's shoes and understand how their actions are affecting them. They are past feeling. And because of that, they have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. And so this is the downward path of people who are listening to lies that are promoted by Satan, and who really have never come to understand the truth of who Christ is. You see, one of the things I've noticed as I've worked with people today is that many people are attracted to what they call the Christian religion because of its compassion. And while I know we hear that there's compassion in other religions, it seems as though it's the compassion and the goodness associated with the teachings of Christ that attract many people to it. And other religions have those truths within them, but it seems as though they practice evil and they practice hatred. And unfortunately, when you look on Christians today, many of them are practicing the evil and hatred as well, which means that they are not following the teachings of Christ, because verse 20 says, you have not so learned Christ. In other words, this is not the example the Lord left us, nor is it what he has taught. And so he says then in verse 20, if you have learned Christ, you'll have to put off this old man, this person who has had problems with their mind and have gotten to where they're past feeling. You're going to have to put that off, and you're going to have to put on really the attributes of Christ. Put off concerning the former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Put on the new man which was created according to God in righteousness and holiness. Now this all occurs because we are renewed in the spirit of our mind when we trust in Christ and accept him as our Savior. It changes us. And so an unsaved person is in a downward spiral away from God, and it causes evil and hate. But if we're saved, we should be regenerated, and we should be showing the love of God that is shown through Christ Jesus our Lord to us. We should be showing that to others. We need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. The whole solution to our problem is Christ. Our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon the program and upon those who have listened. We pray for those who have been affected by the Boston Massacre. We pray for the young man who is alive, who did such a terrible thing. We trust that his soul will be saved, even though he has done such a thing to society. We pray again, our God, that thou wilt just help us to be what we ought to be in Christ, and to be renewed in the spirit of our minds as we commit ourselves to thee in our Savior's name. Amen. Now our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.